Previously on Talk to Dad.
More humans are growing an extra artery in our arms.
Oh, that's terrible, but kind of exciting.
There is Bear and he big.
Maybe when we wake up, things will be better in the world, but maybe they won't.
Snack station.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 221. I've got Will and Henry here with me.
Hey.
Hello.
We are now getting later and later at the podcast. We're just going to, at some point, we're going to do this week's podcast next week and we'll just start over. It'll just like loop over. We'll just miss a week.
To be fair, there were like, I don't know, there was stuff going on.
There was all kinds of stuff going on, including like my work interrupting my weekend several times throughout the weekend. So every time we sat down to do something, it just didn't.
We were literally like just about to podcast, like, okay, I got a work call for a second. And then like,
yeah, an important work call that just
went. And then another.
Yeah, that just threw my whole everything off. Like we had planned on having your cousin George on the podcast.
It was like getting a flight delayed.
And we were all ready to have George on the podcast. And we fought through a lot of technical issues to get him on the podcast. Maisie is noisily eating her food right behind us. But
you,
we're
Maisie.
Just going to push on. We're going to push on. We're going to finish this dang podcast. Dang it. Sorry for the bad language.
Whoa.
Sorry for the dang bad language.
Come on,
but,
man.
So we didn't manage to do it yesterday, which would have been a little late. But now we're Monday and it's even a little later. But we're going to do it. We're going to do it until it's completely done. And then I'm going to edit it and post it. And all of our podcast
Inspiring.
Listeners will be able to listen to it. Let's talk about some things that have been going on. First thing I want to talk about, Will, is about you.
Dang.
You have started a new job, and it's kind of an interesting job. It's very timely. It's very appropriate for 2020, which is an election year. Tell us about your job.
Oh, yeah. I'm working as an election clerk.
Wait, didn't we mention this last podcast?
We mentioned that he was going to do it, but he had not done it yet.
Oh, okay. That makes
so
sense.
You've actually done it a few times.
Yeah.
And what's it like?
It's actually pretty simple. I can either, one time I just worked the computer, or I basically just like scan people's ID, or like they put their ID in, and I would just search up their name, get them all logged on. And then the person to the right of me would, like, sign them in. Last time I actually did the signing in, I literally just, like, wrote their name on a piece of paper and, like, gave them stuff. I don't know. It's a very formulaic job.
Is it fair to say that the legitimacy of our form of government is, like, resting on your shoulders right now?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so, too.
Seriously, like, it sounds like... Like, when it sounds like I'm, like, working as an election clerk because I'm, like, too young to vote, but at least I'm serving my country, like... I'm just literally just pressing buttons.
It is kind of funny that like you're too young to vote, but you're not too young to tell someone else that they can't vote because they don't have the proper ID.
I got into a system of like signing their name, handing someone a pen with pliers. When I got to 5 pens in the used bin, then I would clean all of them with an alcohol wipe. Then I put them back. Then I'd wait for the next person to come up. If that person had a slightly different name, which includes if they had like a middle initial instead of like their full middle name on their driver's license or whatever, then I would have to put an X next to their name, which happened twice. It was exhilarating.
So that someone might possibly challenge their vote because it's not exactly the same as on their ID.
Okay, it might sound like I'm complaining about this, but like the people that I work with are all kind of like elderly people. They're really nice about it and they're like always like complimenting me and like they really helped me to kind of show me the ropes, I guess. And
yep.
It does pay well, and it's actually a really nice job.
Yeah. It's nice because you can kind of do it whenever you want. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
In fact, if you weren't podcasting tonight, you might be at the polls.
Yeah.
Early voting started here in Texas. I think I've already mentioned the fact that I myself have voted. I got the sticker to prove it. I put it on the back of my laptop.
Which, by the way, I took to school. More on that later.
I feel like about 33% of me voting is to get the sticker. I would probably still do it otherwise, but I really like getting the sticker.
Be an interesting study, like seeing how the sticker affects things.
Like they stop doing the stickers and voter turnout just plummets.
Would it be
goes to 0%? Nobody votes.
What about my sticker?
Would it be an incredibly like controversial unpodcasty take to say that you did not vote for Kanye West?
I don't want to not. I don't know if I'm prepared to non-endorse Yeezy. But no, I didn't vote for him. He wasn't on the ballot in Texas, actually.
Oh,
he was not on the ballot. It was funny because they only had kind of the major candidates. I think there were four candidates for president in Texas.
Who are the other two other than the obvious?
There was Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, and Green Party on the ballot. And then like on the in the little voting booth, there were like these little partitions in between the on both sides of the voting machine. And on one side, I think on the left side, it had a big long list of like possible write-in candidates. And I don't know how you get on that list, but there were all these people I'd never heard of that were like, hey, write it in my name. And I don't even know how you would write it in because it's all on a machine, which you know, Will. there must be somewhere in it where you can say other and then they let you write it in. But there was this big long list of write-in candidates, none of whom I recognized. But Kanye West was not one of them, I don't think. He's not on the ballot in Texas.
He tweeted out something that was like encouraging people to like write in like Kanye West baby, which may have been slightly.
I think if you're writing Kanye West baby, it would probably be rejected because I think that's not a real person.
I'm pretty sure the way he said it was actually slightly illegal. So
probably. I don't know if he's really persnickety about all the rules when it comes to him running for president.
Personally, I don't know any Kanye West supporters.
Yeah, I think
like unironic.
I think you would have to search pretty far and wide to find.
Yeah,
I mean, I could kind of see like really, really huge super fans who also like, I don't know. I could see myself at like 10 years old thinking that would be cool if I was into that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But only because when I was 10, I thought that like I knew like nothing about politics like at all.
It's fortunate for all of us that 10-year-olds don't vote. I'm just gonna throw that out there now.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean that 10-year-olds would come to a worse conclusion than sometimes our country does.
We're gonna lose like both of our followers with all these hot political takes.
What if we just lose all
hot political takes?
What if we just lose all of our listeners? What if they're all Kanye West supporters?
If we lost all of our listeners, would we even notice?
That's fair.
If a tree falls in a podcast forest. So you were telling me kind of a funny story, actually, about that. I think you were relating a story that one of the ladies you work with
told. Oh, yeah.
Is that suitable for the podcast, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. Apparently, the lady who worked either to the left or the right of me, depending on which job I took, was telling a story about how, like, apparently they had, like, handed like a ballot to someone and said like, all right, so you're just gonna like take this so that way you can keep it like clean and stuff. And she said like, no, I have God keeping me clean or something like that. And she said like, well, I'm gonna give this to you anyways because it's science or something like that.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah,
we didn't really have that many problems.
I think it's good that you're using, you know, safety protocols. And when I went to vote, you know, people were socially distancing and everyone was wearing a mask, and so I didn't feel like it was any less safe than like going to the grocery store or anything like that.
We would like take like pliers to give people pens. Yeah. And we got like pliers to give people like a Q-tip to touch touchpads with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people were just like, okay. Some people found that funny for some reason. I don't know why.
I mean,
I just used my finger, but
it seems like you wouldn't think of a Q-tip.
I know they had like, when I signed my name at the poll, they had like one container that had like new pens and one that had used pens. So you take a new pen, sign your name, and put it in the used pen thing.
And then like once...
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they clean it.
We just use alcohol wipes.
You just alcohol wipe them.
I think you just explained that.
And rotate them over. I know I'm not the best listener when I'm podcasting. I'll admit it. Sometimes I'm thinking of what I'm going to say next, which is not good conversational hygiene.
Another hot take. Dad does not like the Talk to Dad podcast.
It's the Talk to Dad podcast, but sometimes he'll listen to you and sometimes he won't, unfortunately.
I would say that I'm basically saving this country because the thing is, if I don't alcohol clean the pens, and there's a chance that the people who write like with the pens could just die before they submit their vote.
It's true.
And I feel like that shouldn't happen.
I think the likelihood they're going to die before they vote
Well, if it's a really extreme case of COVID.
But maybe they won't make it to the next election. So, you know.
And whenever I hear, like, the next election in my head, like, I automatically visualize, like, a lightning strike.
Yeah. Some other things that are going on. Mom and I made a large purchase. And I think it's kind of funny. We bought a bed.
It's like the flex.
A couple weeks ago, we were in bed, and I was thinking, you know what? I kind of want a king-size bed. We've always had... Well, I think maybe when we were first married, we had a full-size bed, and a full-size bed is, like, way too small for two people, for two, you know, adult-sized people. I remember my mother-in-law told me that, like, a full-size bed is basically the size of two crib beds.
Dang.
So it's not big enough for two full-size people. And then we got a queen-size bed. And we've had a queen-size bed for, you know, most of the time we've been married, you know, 25-plus years. I think maybe for a year or two we had a full size. So let's say 23 years we had a queen size bed. And then I was just thinking, you know, I really like to stretch out. I like your mom. Sometimes I like to, you know, cuddle with her. But other times I just want to stretch out. Is this embarrassing? It's only going to get worse. Anyway,
right.
The nice thing about a king size bed is a king size bed is like two single size beds. Like, so a twin size bed or a single bed, like the kind of bed you have. That's a king size bed is like everyone gets their own bed size.
It's that's actually like
four crib beds.
They actually took two normal size beds and then just like super glued them together.
So because I made this comment, you know, I kind of want a king size bed. Then like your mom and I, we both just became obsessed with finding a bed. And it's kind of a pain in the butt. It's like almost as bad as buying a car because you walk into like a mattress store and it's totally like the car salesman experience. They're like, all right, what's going to take to get you into this bed today?
There was so much conversation between you and mom about buying a mattress. It was crazy. So confused.
So we went to one of these stores because they had like a type of mattress that they sell online and we were curious about it so we could try one out. And the guy was all like, well, and I was like, well, how much does this one cost? He was like, well, I'll see if I can cut you a deal. And it was all like, you know, he'd say, well, what do you want? What kind of a bed frame do you want? What kind of additional things do you want? And it was like, here's a deal. How does this look to you? Is this good enough? Maybe not good. You could tell it was a total negotiation. And finally, I was like, well, we just started looking. I'm not sure. And so we didn't buy one there. We ended up buying a bed. I'm not going to say what brand we got because they've not sponsored us on this podcast. If they want to sponsor us,
yeah,
I'll say.
You're mattress not allowed.
Sponsors. Dang.
But the really funny thing was not so much the mattress, but when we went to that first mattress store, they had adjustable bed frames. And it was like when you find out that you want something that you didn't know you wanted. because adjustable bed frames, when I think of adjustable bed frames, I always think of when I was a kid on TV, they always had these TV commercials like in the middle of the day for Craftmatic adjustable beds. Like you're watching like reruns of the Brady Bunch or something, and then it goes to commercial and you get this Craftmatic adjustable bed commercial. I'm going to play one for you because it is such a classic, like something you would hear in the 70s or 80s.
I think my generation's equivalent when you come would be home, the tense and sore Snuggie with blanket, tired muscles Snuggie and an blanket, aching back,
get into the amazing Craftmatic adjustable bed. The Craftmatic bed adjusts automatically to any position. Watch TV, read, and write for hours in fantastic comfort. Then turn on the deep penetrating heat and massage. Just touch these buttons. Instantly, you'll
like
feel gentle
huge,
massage flow through your body, helping
have.
Ease away minor
like
aches and
blue,
pain,
like,
while simultaneously warm, comforting
yeah.
heat soaks into
and
tired
the,
muscles
the
and sore joints.
In the commercial are
this
all like
wonderful
old
bed
people.
Can help
They're
temporarily relieve
people.
Lower back pain, rejuvenate sore
like
feet,
old,
makes you feel absolutely
beds.
Great,
makes you
feel better and
great.
Sleep better.
Are we sure
in
this
the Craftmatic adjustable bed? Get all the
exciting facts
about this
marvelous
bed by return mail. For a free booklet by mail, call toll-free 1-800-821-22.
Okay. They said it was automatic and just automatically adjusted, which sounds like a horrible idea.
Man, those infomercials yeah. from like...
But they always show like old people in these commercials. So like when I was a kid, I was like, man, who would want one of these? Like only old people would want one. And then I went to this mattress store and I tried one out and I was like, I don't know, this is kind of nice. I think I'm old now. like that was the one thing I had to get over in my mind was like, am I buying a Craftmatic adjustable bed? And those, kind of, yes.
It's just a big like block that it's a big hurdle you have to go over one day.
This is a bit of a tangent, but I know that infomercial is a lot older, but that really takes me back to the like super dramatic infomercials from like late 2000s, early 2010s.
Yeah, the like
the guy's voice is just so classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, so we bought the bed and I set it up and I, you guys came in and laid down on it. I'm like, hey, try it out. It's really comfortable. And then I like raised it and turned on the massage. What did you guys think of it?
It was pretty cool.
Did it kind of blow you away? I think you guys watched a movie in our room on Saturday. Did you adjust the bed when you watched the movie?
A little bit. We don't want to go overboard with it because it was like, I don't know. But.
Yeah. That was the main thing is, you know, mom and I usually, the only time we watch TV is like right before bed. Like when we go to bed and then watch TV in bed. And I was thinking it'd be really be nice to have like a bed where like the head comes up so you can like lay in bed and watch TV without having to like prop up a whole bunch of pillows behind you. So yes, I don't know if I could, if I can say it's life changing, but it's definitely made things a little different. Mm. It's interesting. It's weird. Like when you're, when you have it all adjusted, so like you're sitting up and your legs are a little elevated, and then you decide, all right, it's time to go to bed. And so you move it flat and it's like, I don't know. It's a little strange because your body gets adjusted to it not being flat. And then when it's flat, you feel like, oh, this feels different.
It's like those remote control, like seats in a movie theater.
Okay. So it might not be life changing now, but hypothetically, if we did get a sponsorship.
Yes. We could tell about exactly.
Exactly
so
how
amazingly life-changing.
Yeah. If we got a sponsorship, then we would not really change this podcast that much.
Except but, I would be much more enthusiastic about the mattress that I just bought.
But you and mom kept on telling me, like, we're going mattress shopping when I was just, like, scrolling on Twitter or playing video games or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, okay. Okay, and Dad.
One thing about shopping for mattresses is now, like, I think for the next year, all I will have on the internet is mattress advertisements. Like, so many mattress ads.
Like, I remember being so confused as to why you and mom were, like, so enthusiastic about getting mattresses.
By the way, I swear, I've said this before, probably not on the podcast, though. I swear targeted ads just don't work a lot of the time. Like, I keep on getting, like, ads for like country music, which I hate. I hate country music so much.
Okay. You get ads for country music?
Yeah, and then Amazon Music started recommending me country music, and I don't get it.
Okay, if like Google Ads, like AdSense or whatever, if they think that you're into like something from a topic, then they think that you're into everything from one topic. So
yeah,
like,
that's true.
I'm into like art, so they think that I'm into like webtoons or whatever, or like. They think that like if you're like into politics, then you're into like any type of politics or stuff like that.
Yeah. Any politics. It's so annoying. Like every
it's
side.
Happened to me before where like, you know, I'll hear some random thing about a particular celebrity and I'll be like, what is the deal with that? And I'll Google it. And then Google will think that I want to know every story about this particular celebrity who I'd never even heard of before but I had like, to Google her.
I don't think I've like Googled country music ever because I just don't get where it got that from.
What's really weird is I feel like all of our devices are listening to us.
Okay,
because
that's
sometimes
a weird
you
thing.
Just mention it like out loud.
Okay.
You don't Google it. You don't type it in. You just mention it out loud and suddenly like, they start throwing
okay, I'm
ads
not,
at you.
I'm not saying that that's completely out of the picture and like completely wrong, but like, first of all, that could be confirmation bias. And like, I feel like if that happened and you didn't say it out loud, then you wouldn't notice it. But also like, I've heard that the way they work is like, they see what other people searched up if they searched up similar stuff to you, and then they go off of like what you haven't searched, but they have.
I'm not 100% saying it's a conspiracy, but it feels like a conspiracy.
Sometimes I'll just be watching a really like good and compelling video essay, and then I'll get an ad in the middle, and like in the back of my head, I know that like okay, it's just an advertisement, whatever. But another part of me is just like, I don't want your brand. I just want to watch a video.
Speaking of like all of our devices listening to us, I did pick up a couple of little Echo Dots from Amazon because it was Amazon Day this last week. Again, not sponsored. We didn't get these for free, but they were really cheap because it was, you know, once a year. The best time to buy an Amazon device is on Amazon Day. So we bought a couple of them. We put them in different places in the house and I hooked up that thing where you can do like an intercom. Mm-hmm. So you can drop into other rooms.
Yeah.
And you can also do announcements through the house. But, it's kind of nice.
The first time you tested that out, it freaked me out.
Freaked you out.
Because, the audio quality is,
surprisingly good.
Yeah.
I'm right there in the room with you.
Okay, I don't know if it's... I mean, it might only be, slightly better than, a phone call, but just something about the way the audio, surrounds itself with, the speaker on there is... It's just creepy. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the newer ones are maybe even a little bit better, too, because I got the it's like the next generation. I think it's a third generation Echo Dot are the ones I bought. Another thing that's happening that will soon be happening is Halloween. And we have all decided what we want to be for Halloween. So I thought we'd talk about that. I don't think we've talked about that on the podcast yet.
Oh, also, if you're wondering, okay, so we still kind of want to pass out candy because it's prepackaged and stuff. And this was kind of recently, but we've talked about getting one of those toy claws to pass it out.
Yeah, just a few hours ago.
That would be kind of fun. Just one of those little grabber things.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And then just stick it out there. I don't know. We've talked about lots of different things. Mom was even talking about maybe hanging them from the trees and telling the kids they could just come up and take one.
I don't like that idea though, because then I asked Tom about this and I was like, okay, so we just sit in the back and just yell stuff at the kids.
Yeah, I don't know. Or having them on a table and just saying, take one, put it in a little bag or something.
That's just not as exciting though. I don't know.
I don't think we're going to get very many trick-or-treaters. I think usually we don't get that many anyway because our neighborhood's a little bit tucked away. And this year, I think it's there'll just be less people trick-or-treating.
I mean, people already know that this neighborhood has a lot of extra candy because there aren't as many trick-or-treaters. But this time, kids will get just entire trick-or-treat Halloween bags of candy. They'll need multiple bags.
And I feel oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I feel like this neighborhood, and I say this neighborhood, is generally pretty good at following COVID guidelines. So I feel I don't know. I feel like they might be a bit more cautious when it comes to trick-or-treating.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think our neighborhood tends to be a little cautious. But anyway, costumes. Let's talk about costumes. Anyone want to share what costume they're going to be?
Mine is a plague doctor, because of course.
Yes. Many of ours, at least three of ours are sort of very timely, of the moment. You're going to be a plague doctor, so you've got the black cape, and you've got the mask with the weird...
Okay, with the weird bird beak thing. Yeah.
And the...
Where they, store
circular slices. Glass eye thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of the few, classic Halloween costumes that can actually be, terrifying.
Yeah. It's way more popular this year for obvious reasons.
Obvious reasons.
But it is a pretty good classic.
It's for the situation going on.
Yeah. William, what are you going
to
be?
I've wanted to be this for some reason, pretty much up until, last Halloween. But I'm going to be a film noir character. So I'll have, a trench coat and, a fedora. And I might be, having, gray skin paint. I don't know if I'll actually be doing that or not.
To make you black and white?
Yeah.
If you did it, if you had, a trench coat on, it would only have to be, your hands. You wouldn't have to go, all the way up your arm. Just your hands and your face and your neck.
Yeah,
It'd be pretty cool, I think.
I don't want to say that I already sound like a film noir character, but I feel like I can do a voice like that.
Yeah. And then if you have a white shirt and a black tie and a gray shirt, gray or black suit.
I'm trying to think of a sentence that someone would say in that kind of movie.
I don't know. You have to think of an old Philip Marlowe novel.
There's been a kidnap. I don't know. There's been a kidnap.
Or a Raymond Chandler novel. I guess Philip Marlowe is the character.
I like how film noirs are like a toned down and more mellow, they're pre-mafia movies where they're just a bit more mellow and slightly less crazy. I've only seen a couple, but
let me see if I can come up with, I'm looking for film noir monologue. Where's a good one? Let's see.
Hello there. I hear there's some speculation that
needs to be deeper.
I hear that there's some speculation that
It's Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, who ended up being a husband and wife in real life.
Wait a minute, let me do the talking, Angel. don't know yet what I'm going to tell him, but it'll be pretty close to the truth. But you'll have to send Carmen away from a lot of things. They have places for that. Maybe they can cure her. It's been done before. You'll have to tell your father about Regan. I think he can take it.
You've forgotten one thing. Me.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing you can't fix.
Classic.
That's so cheesy.
I don't know how long I was on the I don't know how long I was on the floor before I decided to eat it. Quite frankly, I don't think that's any of your business.
Anyway. Yes, so you're going to be film noir guy.
Yeah, I don't know why I want to be that. I just think it would be fun.
Yeah. Mom is going to be Carol Baskin from Tiger King, who is kind of like the one of the main... She's like this lady who's obsessed with tigers. And she always wears like tiger print stuff. And she has like a crown of flowers in her hair. She's got it all planned out.
Nice.
Big 2020 costume. Mine is also a 2020 costume. I am going to be a dumpster fire. So I've got this big box that it's going to be around me that I've spray painted green, and I'm going to have flames coming out of it. And it's going to say 2020 on the front of it.
I feel that'd like I came up with that, but maybe it was also Mom.
I mean, think
we might have all subconsciously.
Both. I thought I came up with it, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think any of us need to take credit for 2020 being a dumpster fire.
Yeah, you can't get away from 2020 being a dumpster fire.
I think everyone's thinking that.
I was almost going to dress up as that person who thinks that a t-shirt is a costume, and I was going to write that on a t-shirt, but Plague Doctor is just too topical.
Man, I just want, like one news story of, like, some sort of, like, gas leak or explosion in a, like, waste facility, so that way you can actually say that there's a dumpster fire.
I think last year we talked about there's a party that gets thrown in Japan every year that's like very subtle Halloween costumes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to do it this year because of the pandemic, but I'm going to look it up and see. I would like to know if they do it this year and like what the very subtle Halloween costumes are. One last thing I want to talk about. Henry had his first day of in-person school today. It was weird because we're already halfway through October and it was like it was the first day of school. It sort of felt like.
Weirdly.
Strangely. What was it like going back
to school? Yeah, I never actually asked you. What was it like?
So it was kind of weird. So before I actually went there, the previous day I like printed out like a schedule and both of the floor plans for the separate floors on two different sheets for some reason.
So you'd know where to go and you wouldn't get lost?
Yeah, I mean, I did get a little lost, but I feel like every time I got lost I feel like every time I got lost during like passing period, there's always someone in the hallway like saying like, "Hey, need some help," which is actually pretty nice.
That's good.
Maybe I just look like a confused freshman.
Yeah, probably. But that's helpful, though. I'm glad people are being helpful and not mean. Was it weird just being around other kids after being isolated for so long?
Yeah, kind of. It was weird how normal it felt.
Those first couple of days, you kind of feel like a rat in a maze with all the different signs, right?
I mean, the signs weren't hard to follow. It was just like one-way places. So I can just go the other way.
The classrooms are spaced, right? Like the desks in the classroom?
Yeah.
Also,
and everyone wears the mask all day in the class.
Also, okay, so I think it was like a couple weeks ago, maybe just last week. My orchestra teacher said that there are only like four people like actually at in-person orchestra. And I was surprised to figure out that he was not exaggerating.
Oh, really?
There are literally four other people.
In your orchestra, there were just five students and the director?
Yeah, one cello... one other cello, one violin player, and two other bass players. Or I guess just two bass players.
No violists?
I don't play bass. Yeah, I think...
Wow.
I don't think they're... I think there's only one violist in the entire orchestra.
Wow, freaking privileged.
I could be
violinists.
Wrong, but...
Those violinists think that they're the entire orchestra.
But now there's only one.
The person
of them.
Who plays that viola, though, gets to be first chair.
Yeah.
And last chair.
Well, yeah.
But first chair...
Yeah.
They need to check their violin privilege and see who's out in the viola section supporting them.
So first day of school. It was weird because today, like, there were no kids at home. Like, when you guys were both at school, Mom and I were just like, this is so weird. It's just us at
home. I mean, they're still amazing.
Tomorrow I'm going to go into work, and so there will be a time when, like, there was, like, nobody home. Or if mom leaves the house, there will be nobody in the house for like the first time in, I don't know, 7 months.
Maisie will protect the house.
Yeah, Maisie
will protect the house. She'll think
that she will. I mean, other than, I guess, when we went on vacation. You know, I'll be at work and you guys will be at school. It'll almost be normal, but not quite.
Maisie's going to get like so excited when we come home.
Yeah.
Oh, also, because of my schedule change, I had 3 electives in one day. Then, like, the last period was human geography, which my geography teacher is actually kind of, like, I'd heard that he was, like, a really good teacher, but, yeah, he was a really good teacher.
Hell, yeah, that's good. You also had your engineering class at the technology center.
That was my first period, and that was weird because, like, I was driven to our school, but then we had to take a bus from the school to the tech center.
So, like, there's one big tech center for the whole school district.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe, what, like, 15 minutes away or something like that?
Yeah.
So you ride the bus there. Did you like the engineering class?
Oh, yeah. I really liked it.
You've already been in it, but now you have a different teacher there.
Also, the entire building is just a really cool building.
It is a really cool building, like all of the technology they have there.
Mm-hmm. Well, but also, like, the way it's, like, the architecture is really cool and, like, how it's structured.
That's pretty cool. Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a news story here from the world of science! It's going to be kind of a science-heavy news this time, I think.
Dang.
This one is about a disturbing Twinkie that has so far defied science. This is from NPR. They did a story about a guy named Colin Purrington, which sounds like something you would call your cat. Hey there, Colin Purrington. How are you today? Anyway, this guy named Colin Purrington, back in 2012, do you remember there was a time when the Hostess company went out of business briefly?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone thought that you wouldn't be able to buy Twinkies ever again. Because Hostess went out of business, and then they came back. Someone bought them, and they came back. And well, back in 2012, this guy bought a box of Twinkies because he thought, well, maybe I won't be able to buy Twinkies anymore. There's also a popular urban legend that says that Twinkies have an indefinite shelf life, like they will last forever because they have so many preservatives in them. It turns out that's not true. The shelf life of a Twinkie is about 65 days, but he believed that. And he had bought this box of Twinkies 8 years ago. And during the pandemic, he got really bored. And he said he didn't have any snacks around the house. So he went down to his basement, dug up this box of Twinkies, took it out, opened it, opened one of them, bit into it. And he said it was terrible. Yeah. He said it tasted like a dirty sock. Not that he's used to eating dirty socks, but it did not taste good. But some of the Twinkies, one of the Twinkies in particular, looked terrible. I'm showing you the picture here.
Is it the one on the left?
It is the one on the left.
All right.
The one in the middle doesn't look too great either because it's got a little spot on it. But one of the Twinkies was completely mummified. It's all shriveled up. It's gray and dark. And like the package it was in like got vacuum shrunk.
So weird.
That is weird.
It looks nasty. And he posted this on Twitter. I think it was on Twitter or somewhere on social media. And a scientist saw it. A scientist named Brian Lovett saw it. And he said that his friend Matt Kaysen at West Virginia University in Morgantown, West Virginia, thought Matt is going to want that Twinkie. And so he messaged the guy and said, can we have the Twinkie so we can study them? Apparently, they had in their lab, they had done previous studies on Peeps to see what kind of mold will grow on Peeps. And it turned out it was actually really difficult for mold to grow on, for fungi or mold to grow on Peeps because Peeps have a very low water content. But they wanted to know what the deal was with these Twinkies and they wanted to study them in their lab. So they took these Twinkies to the mummified Twinkie. They actually used like a tool that's used to do like bone biopsies to drill into it. And one thing they found that was interesting is even though the Twinkie itself was like almost unrecognizable. It still had a cream filling. So apparently the mold, whatever had done this to the fungi who had done this the fungi that had done this to the Twinkie, liked the cake part better than the cream filling, because it left the cream filling alone.
That's so weird.
They were unable to identify the fungi that was on the mummified Twinkie. So they tried to culture it like in Petri dishes and nothing grew. They say it's partly, it could be because all the spores were dead, but they haven't given up hope yet. They're still going to try. The one that just had the dot on it, so it's got about like a spot on it the size of a quarter, they were able to grow just an ordinary type of regular mold from that. But the mummified one, they still have not figured out what did this to it. One thing that was kind of creepy that they found out is because the wrapper is all shrunken, they think that the whatever spore got in there before it was packaged, because that's the only way they can explain the fact that the mold was growing inside the package and it was using up more oxygen than it was giving off. And that's why it shrink wrapped it, which is kind of gross.
That's disturbing. Man, I bet there's just going to be like, we're all thinking, oh, 2021 has to be better, but I feel like this is just going to like take over the world and like destroy our prepackaged food.
Yeah, what if there's a curse involved with mummified Twinkie? Okay. Like curse of the mummy Twinkie.
Exactly, I'm sure so many people have made jokes about this already, but didn't we originally think that COVID originated from like bats in China?
Because
I think we found it. I think we found the actual
perhaps
origin.
Did we? Yeah. So one of the things I thought was interesting about this is they said they expected it to smell really bad. In fact, one of the scientists said, I expected to kill one of us, the smell. But when they opened it up, neither one of them really smelled that bad, which was a pleasant surprise.
Weird.
Kind of a funny story. I just thought that was interesting. Like if you're a scientist, I guess you get to study whatever you want to within reason.
I wonder if it just like goes through a cycle of like smelling bad, then smelling fine, then smelling bad, then smelling fine over those years.
I don't know. I wonder if these scientists have already got a head start on next year's Ig Nobel Prize for studying these old and moldy Twinkies. Anyone want to share their story?
I can.
I have a weird one.
All right, let's go. I called it first. William, then Henry.
One second. I just realized I never talked about my first day at an in-person school.
Oh, yeah.
I said I would.
I was going to, let's do it and I'll edit it back so it's like we were talking about before. William, you want to share your story?
All right. New smallest time measurement. How long it takes a photon to cross a hydrogen molecule. I always feel like I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Molecule.
Back in,
you had to put the emphasis on the first part of it. Molecule.
Molecule.
There you go. Perfect.
Looks like molecule. Anyways.
It does.
All right, that's my entire new story.
Is like a measure, right?
Ah.
A measure has something to do with molecules.
Avogadro's number. We learned about that in 9th grade. 10th grade?
So the smallest unit ever measured?
It says back in, or it's smallest like time measurement. Back in 1999, Egyptian chemist Ahmed Zewail was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for measuring the speed at which molecules change their shape, founding femtochemistry in the process. His measurements were made in a femtosecond.
A femtosecond.
Where one femtosecond equals 0.000000000001 seconds. Hope I got that right. Or 10 to the power of negative 15 seconds.
That's a very short time.
Now, nearly two decades later, atomic physics at Goethe University... Oh my gosh.
Goethe.
University led by...
Goethe University in Germany.
Led by Professor Reinhard Dorner have calculated a... I'm sorry for
you don't know
any German
but that's all right.
Listeners.
Please apologize.
Have calculated a process that is shorter than femtoseconds for the first time ever. The measurement of how long it takes for a photon to cross a hydrogen molecule. This is one of those news stories where I feel like I'm just reading the script of, like, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It does seem like, if you think about a hydrogen molecule is, like, the smallest molecule, right?
But, like, it sounds, like, so wacky and, so, like...
Well, I don't know. What is a hydrogen molecule? Is that like two hydrogen atoms?
I could be wrong, but I think that's like the smallest atom, or it could be the largest.
It's the smallest atom. The hydrogen atom is the smallest atom. But I'm not sure like how many atoms are in a molecule, like two or something.
Well, the molecule, we actually learned about this, but a molecule is just like, I think a molecule is like, if you have a combination of, like if you have a compound,
any compound,
then that entire compound is one molecule.
I'm going to ask Google, how many atoms in a hydrogen molecule?
Two atoms.
Yep.
According to class notes, recall that two hydrogen atoms bind to make a hydrogen molecule.
Yeah, so it's the smallest atoms, the two smallest atoms, two smallest element, the smallest element atom has two of those for a molecule. I'm not very good at explaining this, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know that like a water molecule,
a really
would be
small
like...
molecule. So it's the amount of time a photon, a little tiny light particle, takes to go across a hydrogen molecule.
But I know like. Like a H2O would be like a molecule, but
yeah.
What's the unit?
Molecule.
What's the unit called?
Two hydrogen and one oxygen. See, I know lots of science here.
So this is the shortest time span that has ever been measured. It amounts to about 247 zeptoseconds, which
zeptoseconds.
Is a trillionth of a billionth of a second, or 10 to the power of -21 seconds.
Wow.
To achieve this, the scientists irradiated a hydrogen molecule with X-rays from the X-ray laser source Petra 3 at the Hamburg Accelerator Facility, DESY. They set it up so that one photon was sufficient to eject both electrons out of the hydrogen molecule. The scientists then calculated the interference pattern of the first ejected electron using the Coltrane's reaction microscope. This apparatus was developed partially by Dornier, and it makes the super speedy reaction processes in the atoms and molecules visible. I have no idea what I'm reading.
This is very hardcore science.
Wait. Here. What's the unit of measurement called? Like, what's the
zettosecond? Is that what it is?
Well, it's 200. It's up to 247 zeptoseconds.
Zeptoseconds. I like that word, zeptosecond.
Okay, I'm gonna found a new unit of measurement called semi-zeptoseconds. It's just half a zeptosecond.
There's a quote from Dorner, which I'm gonna restrain myself from doing a German accent, or attempting to. Since we knew the spatial orientation of the hydrogen molecule, we used the interference of two electron waves to precisely calculate when the photon reached the first and when it reached the second hydrogen atom, explained a statement in Sven Grundmann, whose doctoral dissertation was the basis of the resulting scientific article published in Science, just a journal called Science.
I don't know exactly what that's saying, but I think if I did, I would think it was really cool.
I mean, that wasn't the most complicated one there. Yeah, that's... Okay, I get like the really, really, really surface level basic concept, but...
Should we guess that? We let our guest on the podcast.
What are you?
Oh, Phoebe.
We have a special guest here on the podcast, a Talk to Dad exclusive. We have, for a long time, she's not been on the podcast. We have Phoebe with us.
Yay!
You got to put her on speakerphone so we can hear her, and you got to put it right up to the microphone.
She's on speaker.
Hey, Phoebe.
Hi.
How is it going? Phoebe, who is a full-time missionary in Southern California and has not been on the podcast since she left.
No, I haven't. I think you recorded one thing of me. I don't know if you used it, though.
I think I used it, but I don't... Did I... I think I used it. I think I've used it before.
I also listened to that one song that she made.
That previously on.
About,
Podcast changed since my days.
Why don't you give me another one so I have it again. Say, previously. On Talk to Dad. You got to do it dramatically. You got to have a pause between the previously and the Talk to Dad.
Previously on Talk to Dad.
That's pretty good.
I feel like she's done that before.
Enough. How are you, Phoebe? How are things in Southern California?
Things are so good. We're just living it up.
Yep. Today is sort of your half day off, your P day or your preparatory day. And that's why you're able to talk to your family.
Yeah, except when they're podcasting, and then I can just say hi to the podcast listeners.
Then you drop into the podcast. Take a little break from the news to listen to Phoebe.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Phoebe, you'll be glad to know that we didn't talk about this on the podcast. So Mom is going to be Carol Baskin from Tiger King, Tiger Lady.
Yes.
And
just telling me about that.
But more importantly, Maisie is going to be a little tiger cub.
Ooh, I did not know that.
To be a tiger cub. This is going to be that. Like, if I don't get lots and lots of pictures, I'm going to be really sad.
I know.
If I don't get lots and lots of pictures. When
Mom was asking if we should buy a little tiger costume for Maisie, I immediately thought of you. You would be disappointed if we didn't dress Maisie up for Halloween.
WWPD.
I think that last year we did not, and you were disappointed.
It was the year before last. I was in college, and I was like, you know, not doing the best. I was fairly homesick, didn't really have friends yet, and I was just sitting in my dorm studying.
Yeah.
And I learned that you did not dress the dog up, and it made me cry. But probably less so because you didn't dress the dog up, and more so because that was just how my life was going.
It was
but
just
I am very happy
freshman blues at college. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
But we're going to do it this year, and we'll take lots of pictures. I'm going to be a dumpster
so
fire.
Happy
did
and so
did
proud.
Mom tell you that?
She did tell me that.
Yeah. So we talked about that earlier on the podcast. We talked about what costumes we're going to be. We're going to say goodbye to Phoebe. Bye-bye, Phoebe.
Bye, Phoebe.
Bye.
Thanks for coming on. Love you.
All right. Have we finished talking about the smallest measurement of time ever?
I think we have.
All right.
Wow.
Henry, do you want to...
I don't even know what I just read.
Share your story.
I would like to share my story. Nokia wins NASA contract to put a 4G network on the moon. Yes, really.
Are we back to putting animals on the moon? That's cool.
No, animal? It's not animals. It's a 4G network.
I heard corgi network.
No, a 4G.
A corgi network would be so adorable.
A network of corgis.
And like at their little keyboards. Buttons.
Especially a corgi network on the moon.
They could train them like with treats
to
like, tap certain
suits.
Buttons.
Little corgi spacesuits.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. But this is not about the corgis. This is about the 4Gs. I guess the subtitle is astronauts will never miss a notification again, I guess.
It's weird to think that, like, when you drive across the country, there are, like, places in Kansas where you can't get 4G, but they'll have it on the moon.
So basically what this is to do is to, like, help further, like, research on different stations, because, like, I guess service would help.
I guess, you know, if you're going to go to the moon, you want to be able to have some communication services up there. It's just
weird
to think about, like, cell towers on the moon.
It's like in 2001 A Space Odyssey, the scene of, like, the kid, like, talking to his... Or the, like, astronaut talking to his kid and his wife.
Maybe that's what the monolith is. It's just a 5G tower.
It's the 5G,
that's
yeah.
That's what 5G looks like. It's visualized.
Yeah.
The like Gregorian like wailing that plays
oh,
with the 5G
tower.
That's
just the radio waves.
So, what else do we know about the story?
Basically, it says in the article, Nokia's plans to build a 4G/LTE network and eventually transition to 5G, just like the rest of us. It will be the first LTE/4G communications system in space, according to NASA's announcement. Well, you'd think.
Yeah, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
Maybe Nokia is actually lizard aliens. I think Nokia is actually lizard aliens.
Yeah.
They are reptilian aliens.
They are from Finland, so, you know.
Gosh,
wow.
Read up on your lore.
That's a little suspicious.
Yeah. Who would want to live where it's so cold?
The system could support lunar surface communications at greater distances, increase speeds, and provide more reliability than the current standards, the announcement almost reads. What are the current standards for the moon?
I don't know. I don't know that much about the moon. It's just a big rock up in space. Mm-hmm. I know the Apollo astronauts went there and played golf and planted a flag.
We accidentally unleashed a whole bunch of tardigrades on the moon.
Someone did, yeah. I don't know. Who was that that did that?
Now they're going to...
That last
it was
year.
Me.
Now in, like, millions of years, they're going to evolve and start a new civilization, thanks to...
Speaking of starting new civilizations, apparently it's just to help, like, make the moon more habitable, I guess.
Yeah.
Because why shouldn't we live on the moon,
You
know?
Yeah, I think the plan is to establish a moon base so that they can use that as a jumping-off point to go to Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Wasn't there a while where, like, a whole bunch of countries tried to, like, claim territory on the moon or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Which is like, that's interesting
Americans
stuff.
Americans got yeah. there first, but yeah.
That's like sci-fi first. Novel
we,
stuff.
We claimed the entire moon.
I heard that Russia has claimed Venus.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what their basis for doing that is, but I heard that.
Apparently
why?
They
there's like...
Venus is ours.
Toxic clouds.
Maybe that's where they like...
Did anyone else want it?
Maybe that's where they'll send the next, like, gulags.
I'm going to claim Pluto. And I don't care if it's not a planet anymore. I'm just going to claim it. It's fine.
Guess I'll have to settle for Mercury, I
Mars's
guess.
Mars's moons.
No, like I'll settle for Ceres. I claim Ceres. I'm declaring it. I claim Ceres.
I'll claim some of the rings of Saturn.
So anyway, there's going to be phone service, or at least cell phone service, 4G service on the moon.
And then eventually 5G.
That is the news. Let's play a game.
Shall we play a game?
Oh, love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
Sorry, I don't know that.
We haven't played a game with our Amazon Echo in a while, so I thought we might do it. I actually upgraded the song quiz so we can play with genres.
Mm.
Let's try this out. Alexa, let's play song quiz.
This will be fun.
Welcome back to Song Quiz Gold. How many people want to play song quiz?
Three.
To play a music decade, say decade. To play a brand new music genre, say genre.
Genre? 2000s alternative rock?
Starting your 2000s alternative rock game.
All right.
Player 1. Question 1. For
That's
10
me.
Points. Name the song title and artist.
Shake It Off by Little Pump.
You got the title for 10 points.
Well, yeah.
The song was Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine.
I actually got it wrong.
Your score is 10. Player 2. Question 1 for 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
Sally, if we want, where you can always find me. And we'll have Halloween on Christmas.
Halloween on Christmas by Joe Blow and the Blowhards. I just made that up.
It's like 2000. Oh, okay.
The song was I Miss You by Blink-182. Your score is 0. Player 3. Question 1.
It didn't sound like
for 10 points.
To me.
Name the song title and artist.
California by the person. You're that guy?
Oh, never mind. I thought it was
you got
else.
The title for 10 points. The song was California, Chad Blake Mix by Phantom Planet.
Everyone sings about California.
Your score Phantom is 10. Planet. Player 1. Question 2. For 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
Ah, yes. Alternative rock. Beethoven's Fifth Symphony by Lil Pump.
Oh, so close.
What? Ever. The song was That's Not My Name by the Ting Tings. Your score is 10.
So
Player 2. Question 2. For 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
I know this one. Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand.
Franz Ferdinand was taken
Mega.
Out.
You got 10 points, plus an extra 10 bonus
so.
Points.
Finally
the song
one.
Was Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand. Your score is 20. Player 3. Question 2. For 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
I know this one.
Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. That was
Teenage Dirtbag.
Wait, what?
Wait.
You got the title for
oh,
10
I
points.
Said it.
The song was Teenage Dirtbag by
Sorry,
thank
the
you.
Score was 20.
Well, I also
thank
got
you.
A point for
I had no idea.
For 10 points.
Although now I...
Another band.
Me too.
The song was
Revolution 9 by Smash Mouth.
Strokes. Player 2. Strokes. Question 3 for 10 points.
Oh, what is the band? I can't think of them. Dang it. You know it, and I don't.
I feel like I do.
Dashboard by Moz Mouse.
Dashboard by
Moz Mouse. I know that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a really good one.
I was actually thinking it was.
I didn't really like Moz Mouse.
Question 3 for 10 points.
Oh, I like some of the songs.
I think I know the band.
I don't. Sounds vaguely familiar,
Arcade
though.
Arcade Fire.
The song was Rebellion, Lies, by Arcade Fire. Mm.
Dad's
Your
favorite
score
artist.
Score is 20. Player
they're not,
one.
They're not bad.
Question 4 for 20 points. The song was Little Secrets by Passion Pit. Your score is 10. Player 2. Question 4 for 20 points.
Heart in My Chest by the Ting Tings. I don't know.
The song was Simple Song by the Shins.
Oh, wait, what? Wow. How did you not get the Shins?
Player 3. Question
totally
4 for 20
that.
Points.
Shins has like 10 different styles though, so.
I definitely feel like I should know
Playing
this one.
Playing the clip again. Say skip if you're not sure.
I definitely
sure.
feel like I should know this one. The rattling, the mating crowds are out here for the week. I've got no idea. I should know this one.
You got the artist for 20 points.
What?
The song was Paddling Up by Mike Snow.
What?
Your score is
40. Oh, Mike Snow.
Mike
Snow. He did Genghis Khan.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
He did Genghis Khan, which is really good.
Yeah, that music really
video.
Good.
It has a really good music video. Really good song.
Player 1. Question 5. For 40 points.
I should know this. Junior. They're too obscure to show up on here. Wait.
You got the title.
I don't think they even had any albums in the 2000s.
The song was Ready for the Floor by Hot Chip. Your score is 50.
That's very generous.
Alexa needs hearing aids.
Question 5 for 40 points.
Repeat.
I know the song.
Dagger by the Fratellis. That's not the name of the band, though. It's,
Mom would play that song sometimes. I remember when she used to do that.
You got 40 points, plus an extra 10 bonus points. The song was Chelsea Dagger,
by the
Fratellis.
By the Fratellis.
Your score is 70.
Oh, nice.
Player 3. Question 5 for 40 points.
Repeat.
I don't know this one. I know it.
I'm just gonna take a shot in the dark. Repeat. I'm just gonna name a random indie band that I haven't listened to, okay? I don't know the title of the song by Yo La Tango.
I think it's Oasis.
Oh. Well,
I think
that's
a song off of Modern Vampires in the City, 2013.
Oh, no,
score is 40.
I got it wrong.
Player 1 got 50 points. Player 2 got 70 points. Player 3 got 40 points. Player 2 won with 70.
Dad won. Because I got lucky. I thought it was funny.
If I would have gotten Dashboard, I would have...
The next game is starting in a few seconds.
I was surprised.
If you want to come back to...
Stop.
I was surprised by the amount of songs from...
Thanks for playing Song Quiz.
I like how they gave you Mike Snow and you said, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the amount of songs from Sleep Well Beast by The National.
Yeah, they were all there. Every one of them.
That was a better song quiz, though. I think if you get to the genre level, they do play more songs that we know, or at least you know the band or something.
I mean, we were definitely looking for like any songs we know. I didn't get a Shin song.
That just drives me crazy.
Or Modest Mouse.
I don't listen to that album. That's not the album that I don't listen to very often.
Doesn't the Shins go through like 10 different genres, though? Or like styles?
No, they're just indie. There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
It is time, once again, to do weird flavors of M&M's.
Ooh, I like weird flavors. They have some new M&M flavors.
These look interesting. I don't know if they're good, but they look interesting. We've got chocolate popcorn and creepy Cocoa Crisp. Creepy Cocoa Crisp. And chocolate popcorn.
They really just, like, slapped creepy until that last one.
Well, but it's also alliterative, you see.
Does it use natural creepy flavors?
No.
I don't like that fake creepy
it
taste.
It is Cocoa Crisp Center with a layer of dark chocolate, and it does seem to be a Halloween thing.
Okay, that sounds good. M&M brands
the chocolate popcorn is an official sponsor of the NFL.
I would say on this podcast, M&M brands can be about as trustworthy as, like, Oreo or Lay's, which is... very trustworthy. Maybe even like Twizzler level.
All right. Which one do you want to try first? Creepy Cocoa Crisp. Sounds kind of scary. Or chocolate popcorn?
Let's try creepy Either. Cocoa Crisp.
Yeah, all right. You're ready to be scared.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be pretty creepy.
Very creepy.
Terror in every bite.
Not I know, sponsored. Right?
What do you think of the creepy Cocoa Crispy flavor M&M's?
I'm pretty sure M&M's also sells these like kind of crunchy like brownie flavors. And I'm pretty sure that's... like exactly this.
It does taste kind of brownie-y.
That being said, these are really good.
Yeah, they're very rich, very dark chocolate flavor. They remind me of the crispy, M&M's, but just with a darker chocolate.
They remind me of those crunch bars that you get with some Halloween candy. Mm-hmm. They're like kind of small.
All right, how would you rate them on a scale of ooh, seriously so gross, meh, okay, or delicious?
I would say that's a pretty strong delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
And no controversy there. I agree. They're pretty delicious. I like them. They're good.
Pretty much all M&M flavors are delicious. Like, not to jinx it, but...
a lot of people don't like popcorn-flavored things. Like,
I love popcorn flavored stuff.
Believe it or not, there are some, some people who don't like the buttered popcorn.
Yeah.
No, those are great.
Which is great, because they always, like, have, like, 25-cent bags of just the popcorn ones, which I kind of love.
I mean, you're allowed to be wrong about things, but
chocolate popcorn smell really strongly of like movie theater popcorn. Much like regular popcorn, these smell more than they taste.
Yeah.
They smell stronger than they taste.
I mean, those are basically just like the last ones we had, but they taste slightly more like popcorn and they smell a lot like popcorn.
Strongly like popcorn, but they're also kind of crispy in the middle, like the other ones were.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I give these a delicious.
Yeah, that's a delicious. That's like a solid delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Yeah, I think these are both pretty good, especially for like a limited time flavor. Because sometimes I don't necessarily like the limited flavors. These are both pretty tasty, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, honestly...
good job, M&M's.
Honestly, these past few years, I feel like M&M's have kind of been killing it. Like peanut butter and crispy and caramel M&M's are all really, really good.
Yeah, that one they did that was like English toffee was really good.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Like, peanut butter M&M's are some of my favorite candies, honestly.
Yeah, both of these are pretty good. So, creepy, Cocoa Crisp.
I generally don't like peanut M&M's, but, like, peanut butter M&M's are amazing.
I think they also now have, like...
No, I don't.
I think now they're selling, like chocolate strawberry M&M's or something like that.
And they're good.
They're getting, like, really, like, excessive with it, and I'm down for it.
M&M's in this country are getting, like, Kit Kats in Japan.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the state of, like... treats and stuff like that is just to like come up with all these like crazy and weird varieties.
It's good though because it keeps treat yourself in business.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking.
So and we keep them in business. It's a positive feedback loop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that was treat yourself.
We single-handedly keep them in business.
Oh,
and that is our podcast. Thanks, boys, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Phoebe, who was briefly on the podcast. And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. I will try to tweet out and put on Instagram some of the stuff we talked about this week. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about the podcast. And the second thing you can do is leave us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, it helps us be able to get a little more exposure for the podcast so other people might be able to listen to it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.
It's time for later, alligator, my heart.